All right. As we get back to our seats, I wanted to share just a few things about what's going on here with us here during these 40 hours, the beginning of the new year. It was really cool. Kelsey, you were talking about testimonies, you know. Aaron, do you have that scripture promise from the baby in the womb? You don't have it? Okay, I'm going to kind of estimate it, okay, right? Because, and tell me if I'm wrong, but it was like, we were praying for the tanker's lease, and Marita said, hey, can we pray for your baby, you know, because he or she, right? He's going to be born in 2023, so here's a promise for him, right? And it was something, it was really cool, so we just, you know, we just have the stack of cards over there, you just pull it off the top, and it's like, something about, like, God's going to show him, like, treasures in the secret place. Dark places, yes. And it was like, are you kidding me? For a baby in the womb? This is perfect, right? Oh, my gosh. It's not like we had one setting aside, you know, like, hey, if a pregnant mom comes, grab that one. You know, she'll be like, whoa. Okay, cool.
I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons
you. Is that awesome? Did you guys all hear that? That is awesome. That was so cool. Okay, so after you guys, Jake Gerst comes up. Jake Gerst is in the military. He's in Germany, but he was here visiting, and he came up. And he's got some, his time in Germany is going to be ending pretty soon, and they're going to be making, like, decisions for him to where he goes next. And, you know, so there's a lot of stuff going on for Jake. And so we pull the card off the top, and it's Exodus 14:14, and it just says, basically, just be quiet. I got this. A paraphrase, okay, that's a paraphrase. Be quiet, Jake, I've got this. It said, that, you know, that said, the Lord says, I will fight for you. Just be still and be silent. And Jake was like, wow. So then he left. Then he comes back. He says, Pastor Tom, I forgot this. He said, before the service started, I was standing out in the lobby, and Courtney Clooney came up to me, and she looked at me, and she said, Exodus 14:14, and then she walked away. It's like, what? Yeah, you're like serious, right? She just said, so she says Exodus 14:14 to him, and then he comes up after the tanker's lease, and we took an extra card, or he would have got the in the womb card. Then we wouldn't have known how to pray for that one. But you know, it's like so, you know, and then we just take the one that's off the top, and it's Exodus 14:14, the one that got, that was the word that God wanted to get to Jake's heart. One way or the other. He sent it through Courtney, and then he confirmed it, you know, in us. And it's like, there's so often, God works in those kinds of ways. And you know, my story is that I've gotten the same verse for 4 different years in my life. That's covering a long time. But it's like, why that one? You know, though you go through the fire, you won't get burned. Though the floods come, you won't drown. It's like, great, you know, this is good news, right? Fire's on the way, Tom. Floods are coming. Happy New Year. But good news is you'll make it through. You'll make it through 4 times. and every year had a crisis in it. So what God said, you know, it's like, I don't want to get that card this year. But God's like, look, Tom, those things were going to happen whether you had a scripture promise card or not. That card didn't cause that. Oh, so now I got to get fire in Tom's life because he got the card. No, but what you had was the assurance when you were in the midst of it that it would not overwhelm you. You're going to make it through. And so you go through it with confidence. You go through, you know, with an assurance. You go through with some support and security in that. And so I did not get that verse this year. But it was like, okay, that's not Isaiah 43, but it is. Let's see, where is it? Oh, where is it? Okay. Hey, maybe it's okay. It's not going to happen after all. It was that, you know, though the Lord's anger lasts for a moment, and I'm like, oh, great, you know, Yeah, and then it was, then after that it was, though weeping lasts for the night, you know, joy comes in the morning, you know, kind of thing. It was like, okay, well, that's not quite fire and flood, but it's still a word that's saying, you know, there's something that you need to be able to persevere through. And in comparison, it'll be just a very brief time. And then on the other side of it, there's joy. And so it's like, okay, I receive it. I receive it. Whatever God has for me, it's good. That's the bottom line, isn't it? Whatever God has, it's good. And so, you know, it's like, okay, God, let's go. I'm in for the adventure. And then there were, there were some cool things that people had written, too, about hearing the word for Bradley Epworth. And I won't read them all, but I'll just take some excerpts. A longing in the heart to see signs and wonders. I heard streams in the desert, and the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shall. Who had Hind's feet on high places? Was that you, Aaron? Yeah. Somebody else had this for the church. You know that the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. And then there was a confirmation and a prayer. People gathered on Friday night. I wasn't here to pray and shared some of these things and just some really cool stuff. Jesus is coming soon. There you go. How about that one? Jesus is coming soon. The promised king is coming back to fulfill his promises and stay forever. Hallelujah. Remember, that is how this all ends up. The king comes back and establishes a kingdom of which we will be a part. And he will reign forever. And that's you know, Eden, we got to remember, God did not lose in Eden. All right? Because he doesn't lose. Now, Eden caused a long journey of love and redemption that is a beautiful love story that you are a part of. The most beautiful love story ever written, and you are in it. Wow. And it ends with the return to Eden, only a different kind of Eden, the kingdom of God, where God walks with us daily and talks with us and establishes us as people ruling and reigning with him. Hallelujah. Bradley Epworth is a wise virgin who, though was asleep, had prepared for the bridegroom's coming because there was oil in the lamp. Right? Here's another one. B.E. should stay the course. God is with us. Trust him. Hallelujah. The Spirit will guide us forward as trust leads to peace, erasing anxiousness and plotting our steps. Keep your eyes on him. 2 Chronicles 20:12. God has laid a firm foundation in B.E. I like this. Enjoy the beautiful unfolding to come. You like that? Enjoy it. Where'd I go? Went the wrong direction. All right. That's a firm foundation, the firmest thing you can stand on. It's all about him, and that's what we were singing this morning. There's more. You can read this, and you can even add to it, even though in 3 minutes our 40 hours are over, and we will all stop praying till next New Year's. And what I wanted to share with you is that it has been very difficult for us in our family, and why we weren't able to make it Friday night or Saturday until last night's service, and why Vicky's not here this morning. And that is because we got a phone call the day after Christmas from our brother-in-law Rick, and we anticipated that Vicky's brother perhaps had died because he's got cancer and he's been struggling, and it's a kind of touch and go. But it wasn't. It was her sister Donna, and it was a devastating shock out of nowhere. Donna is one of the most energetic, vibrant, alive people for Jesus and for others, honestly, that I know. And she runs 3 or 4 times a week. She's in great shape and great health. And she was at church on Christmas Day, and 2 days later, she's gone. And not just that, but Donna was for Vicky. She was 13 years older than Vicky, but she was Vicky's guardian, protector, substitute mom. You know, I mean, Vicky had a mom who was a lovely lady, but growing up in housing in Pekin, they had very, very little money, and oftentimes their mom would have to say to them, Donna, when she was little, kids, we have no money and no food, you need to go out and find some. And she didn't ask them where they got it when they brought it back, because she couldn't. She just had to trust that that was some food to eat. There was a time when they lived in a little house in South Pekin that just had dirt for the floor. And never had a car. And there are other parts to the story that aren't good. But Donna always lived to make sure that her 13-year younger little baby sister had everything she never had. She would go out of her way. She made she made clothes for her. She made sure she had her Brownies uniform. When she left the house and got married and she had a car, she would come and pick up Vicky every day for school, and she would go around and pick up Vicky's friends. And she said, Vicky said, it made me feel like I was a normal kid, not a housing kid. And she did it every single day, without exception, for years. And then after school, Vicky would walk to her house, and she'd get an actual meal, like an actual sit-down meal that somebody cooked, you know, would be there. And she learned what life was like, you know, in a more normal kind of way. But that continued on throughout her life. Donna was always looking out for baby sister Vicky. So when she heard the news that her sister Donna had died, it just was devastating. And Vicky's a strong woman. She's doing well. But this was hard. It was hard for all of us, the whole family. She was the light and the life of family gatherings. She was at church. I'll tell you what. She was involved in youth ministry, I'm telling this to you because I want to have it direct us towards a particular kind of prayer ministry this morning. But Donna was involved for years with youth, and she every time she saw a young person, and she would always look for the one who needed the most, because she saw herself in that kid. Right, I've got testimonies that I printed off Facebook and the obituary, and this is a very, very tiny fraction. But over and over and again, Donna made the difference for me. If it wasn't for Donna, Donna bought us meals. Donna took us everywhere. Donna took us on rides. She was the fusion ministry in Pekin. There were hundreds of kids, and everyone who said that Donna was just like one of the teenagers that. You know, brought us all together and brought us back to church, and it's just like it's over and over and over again. I talked to this one kid. His name was Peyton. He said, "Yeah, when I came to the youth to church, Donna was one of the first people who welcomed me and told me I was really going to like the youth group and that she was going to be there, and I needed to come." And he said, "And I did, and it was great." And he said, "When I got my first job, Donna showed up at Bob Evans, just to encourage me on my first day of work." And she went to every one of my softball games. And he said, and a lot of times there wasn't anyone else there for me. And she was the loudest one. That was just one kid. But I can multiply that times 100. Somebody said probably 1,000 people's lives, growing up in that church were changed because of her. So that took us out. We did the I did the funeral service on Saturday. It was very difficult, but it was graced by God and people's prayers, and Vicky's still processing, and we will move on, right? Because that's how it works. It always does. But that's why we weren't here, and still had the heart, you know, the church in our hearts, and yet we were, you know, consumed with, you know, something else. But here's the thing that God showed me, and I wanted to share it with you today, because I think it's something that I want us to all pray into. This is crazy, you guys. I got to just say, you know, all those kids, her daughter, Angie, you know, is in the tech industry out in Silicon Valley in San Francisco, and she's been there in a couple decades, and so she actually trains and mentors and coaches people coming into the tech industry and in their jobs, and is very competitive. She says, I never, ever do a training that I don't talk about my mom. She says, because I want, it's like this lady in Pekin, Illinois, who graduated from Pekin High School in 1970 and drove a bus and worked in a bowling alley. But everybody in the tech industry out there who gets trained by Angie hears about how Angie says, I'm only here because somebody else gave up everything to see me succeed. She gave herself away so that I could be what I am. And it's true. And all these kids, and I just thought, you guys, this is wealth. These testimonies. If I held it up, it would be thicker than what we used to call a phone book. It's amazing because this is just a fraction. One kid put something on his Facebook post, and 60, 70 other people added to it. And that was just one kid, with 60 to 70 other people saying, "Yeah, that's me too, me too, me too." She did that for me, and it's like, you guys, it's wealth. She's honestly one of the most wealthy people in the kingdom of God, and. But here's the thing that I felt like God was showing me. He was the name of the ministry was Fusion. They don't do it anymore at the church. I was looking at Fusion, and Fusion is taking two things and merging them together, fusing them together till they become one. Okay? And so you've got one thing. It's been fused together. It's fusion. And then God pointed me to Romans 5:5. That the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, which Nancy Schneider, that was one of her favorite scripture passages, and I would always say, Nancy, how come you're in your 70s and all these young kids are attracted to you like a magnet? Oh, Pastor Tom, it's not me. It's because the love of God's been shed abroad in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is God, you know, and it's like, okay, Nancy, I get it, but somehow the love of God shed abroad in your heart and the love of God shed abroad in my heart looks kind of different. So I'm still wondering what's going on here. And that's what the Lord was showing me, because Nancy and Donna were very similar. Donna was 70 when she died. But I would never, you never would have known it. You would have said, this lady's in her 50s, probably, you know. So, but what's happening is there's a fusion. And it's a fusion between Nancy's personality or Donna's personality. I'll talk about Donna. Donna's natural personality, and then the divine empowerment of God. The Holy Spirit comes and infuses. So there's a fusion between the divine power of God and the natural human personality, because she has a natural human personality. Okay? She didn't become a Christian and become wonderful. She was a really nice lady. And if she had never become a Christian and the Holy Spirit wasn't in her, we probably all would have said, this was a really nice lady. But we wouldn't see this. So yes, a very nice lady. But that's the basic personality that she was knit together with in her mother's womb. The same way that Kelsey, you were knit together in your mother's womb. There's mom. With a basic personality, right? Now when we give ourselves to Jesus, there is a death to the self that enables us to open up to the new birth, and the coming of the Holy Spirit then is infused upon us, and we pray for that, we ask for that, we get doses of that over and over and over again. We commonly call that Holy Spirit baptism. But the Holy Spirit comes in and merges with that basic human personality and creates something beautiful and awesome for God, for the world, for the world. Now, in Donna, it looked like this. But in me, it's not going to look like that. I'm not supposed to be Donna. Because there's a lot of people saying that. I feel so guilty hearing about her life. It makes me feel awful. It's like, well, you're not Donna. There's only one Donna. And she got it. She got the role. And so that's, you know, right? That's who she's going to be. But the question is, when Melissa Bowden's basic personality gets infused with the Holy Spirit empowerment, what kind of beautiful gift for God is that going to release into the world that's unique? Like every fingerprint and every snowflake, Holy Spirit coming into us makes something different. And for some people, that will look like this. Some people, it will look like this. And it's like, so where then does God's love abound in my heart in a unique way so that God says, that's why I knit you together in your mother's womb, Tom Eckhart, with that kind of stuff. I put stuff in there because it would be different, because I wanted a different expression of my love. And in every one of us sitting in this room, he wanted a different expression of his love. So Sarah, he said, what do I want? And here's how I'm going to make it, right? And then he puts his Holy Spirit in you, boom, and it's like, wow, what a beautiful gift to the world you are. And that's why we need to find that. We need to release that. We need to allow that Holy Spirit. And so as we're praying and we're looking at 2023, we're looking at our own lives and saying, God, empower me to be what you created to me. Empower me to be what your idea was when you knit me together. What was your idea? Right? What was your idea when you said, I'm knitting together Aaron Tankersley? Well, he wouldn't have been Tankersley when he was knitting, but he knew. He knew. He knew David was on the, you know, in the picture there. And or Angel. Right? What is it that Angel is going to release into the world? Seriously, right? She is, and she's struggling right now for a little bit. But what is she here for, right? Oh, sweetheart. All right. Lila, can you help out a little bit, sweetie? There we go. Angel is for a reason, and she's here for a reason. She is affecting your life right now for a reason, and us as a church for a reason. All of this is from God. And, you know, he's going to show us and teach us what is it that she's here for, right? What are we here for in Angel's life, and what is Angel in our life for? And you guys, we can't look at the outside and say, oh, well, this person, blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, no, no. We've got to look past that. And we've got to say, but right? What is it that God has done to make this? And what is he doing with it? And for each one of us to say, God, I can't be Donna, but I can be Tom. And it may not be the person who stands out. It may not be the most successful preacher. It may not be the author who changes things. But Donna never wrote a book, and she never got a college degree, and she never had a career other than bus driver. But she is wealthy. Because she gave herself away. That's what she did. She gave herself away. I don't think she understood the concept of boundaries. It's like, do you have any? What are those? All I know is that kid needs a ride. She was so consistent. But the invitation that God is giving us is to each and every one of us, as we start 2023, the invitation is to ask that Holy Spirit would empower us to be who we were created to be. And I feel that's for the church, too. Like, I feel a church. Last night, Hannah, you were saying that Bradley Epworth, and she was looking at the windows, saying how the windows are so different. Like, every window is different. Some look like they came out of a shower stall thing, and others, you know, look like amazing, beautiful color, right? And it's like, I don't know who put these together, but they didn't have any pattern in mind. that I know. And it's like okay, but you know, but that's who we are. And it's kind of like, but Hannah was saying it reflects the people in the church. And it's like, no, I wasn't saying that. That's what I got. That's we call that the Jim Simmons window. Hey, buddy. I didn't know he could hear me. Okay. But it's like, when God puts something together, look at us. Look at us. Like, we're all very different. Not as different as I would like it. I'd like to see more difference. But that's okay. God's putting this thing together. He says, I'm going to build the church, not you, Tom. And it's like, okay. But if you took our basic personality as a church, we could be a good church or a nice church. But we want to be an empowered church that fulfills the destiny and that God has assembled us to be, right? There's an assembly, an assembly of people who have been gathered here to create something empowered by the Holy Spirit that is a beautiful gift to the world. And I want to get that. So the thing that I feel like God is asking us to focus on in our prayers, and we felt it last night, is that we just need to keep crying out for and asking for and receiving more empowerment, more Holy Spirit. But that and you know, as a pastor over all of these years, I've received criticism for being too focused on the Holy Spirit to the detriment of other things, and that may, I don't know that, I can't say that that's the case because I'm not sure that God would agree with that, but that's okay. But then I've also, you know, been said that we're not focused enough. So I always figure if there's enough, the same number of people are saying you're not enough in the Holy Spirit as they are saying you're too much, then you're just right. So you look for that and that, and you balance out, and you keep going. But Jesus said, don't do church without the power. Didn't he? He told his disciples, don't. Peter, don't go out there and preach. It'll be a mess. It will be a mess. You will make a mess. Wait until the power comes. And when that gift comes on you, then your basic personality, Peter, which is kind of a big mouth that, you know, just doesn't quite think things through before you get out there. He said, when that power comes on you, you're going to stand up and you are going to preach and you're going to be so bold that, you know, you're going to be like, you're going to stand up and address all the people on the day of Pentecost without knowing what to say, but just that you have to say something, and you're going to blurt it out and afterwards go, what did I just say? What did I just do? Are we getting in trouble? And he says, but that's your personality, Peter. That's not John's. John sat next to me at the Last Supper, and, you know, he just was very quiet and very thoughtful, considering what all these. And when you read John's gospel, you get that. You get that deeper, right? You get that a different dimension. John had a different personality. And when he was empowered by the Holy Spirit, that's what it looks like. He's saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. You know, and Peter's saying, repent! Get to it now! Because his personality, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is a different looking man than John. And you can't look at them and say, wow, we should all be like Peter. Oh, no. Roberta needs to be Roberta. Perry needs to be Perry. Marilyn, you need to be Marilyn. Empowered by the Holy Spirit to be the beautiful gift. And Bradley Epworth needs to be Bradley Epworth. We can't model ourselves after anybody else. See the mistake that would be? The mistake that would be if we modeled ourselves on another church and said, well, we should be like Bethel, or we should be like Northwoods, or we should be like, right? It's like God's like, well, if I wanted that, I just would have done another one of them. but I'm doing this. Can't you see it? Right? Can't you perceive it? Can't you see what I'm doing? And invite Holy Spirit into that place. So that's it, folks. I think that where we're at right now in our 40 hours of prayer is that God is saying what Jesus said, don't do anything until you have the power. And so our goal would be then to pray for the power in ourselves individually, right? To come in and fill our personalities, find out who we were created to be for a gift, as a gift to the world, and who Bradley Epworth is.